And welcome to our AA meeting for Planet FM 104.6. My name is Ben, I'm an alcoholic, and I will be chairing our meeting this morning. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today we have three fantastic speakers. Thank you for joining us, Sophie, Rob and Hayley. They will each be sharing their experience, strength and hope. And Sophie, would you like to open the meeting for us?
Thanks. Hi, I'm Sophie. I'm an alcoholic and pleased to be here. I came into AA sort of by accident. I had discovered alcohol quite young and been looking for it since even earlier. I'd always felt out of place and lonely and like the weird kid in the corner who didn't quite know how to get on with anyone else. Yeah, regardless of my outside circumstances, was always just terrified and unhappy. And when I found alcohol, that changed. I felt like it made me funny and I could talk to people that I would normally not be able to. The hole inside me just disappeared a little bit. So when I was, you know, in my kind of early teens, I was able to access the alcohol a little bit more, and pretty much from the get-go, like, I would drink as much as I could, as often as I could, and as I got older, that became more often, and in larger quantities. I never really understood my friends who we'd go to a party and they would have, you know, a couple early on and then just sort of maintain that level of tipsiness throughout the night and they'd have fun and that would be enough. I was always, you know, at the point of blackout within couple of hours at least. I wasn't really that interested in having one or two. If I was ever offered like a glass of wine at dinner, I'd say no because I knew that that would be insufficient. So I'd wait for dinner to be over and then I'd, you know, grab the whole bottle out of the fridge because that suited me better. And as time went on, I started to really focus my whole life around alcohol, and I couldn't maintain my friendships or relationships. I had jobs that would, you know, pay me enough and to buy alcohol, and jobs that didn't really care if I was drunk on the job, and my world started to get really small. Like anything that was in the way of me drinking the way that I wanted to drink had to go. So the friends who were a little offended by how much I drank, or the friends who got too worried, like we couldn't hang out anymore. And I, you know, the loneliness and all the things that had kind of propelled my drinking in the start started to get worse. And eventually the alcohol couldn't cover it up so well anymore. It wasn't working the same as it did when I'd started drinking. You know, the fun and the excitement and everything had faded away, but I still couldn't stop. And I'd heard about Alcoholics Anonymous through, I think, a television show. And, you know, by this point, like, I was 16 and I dropped out of school and I had very few friends. I'd moved out of home and wasn't really speaking to my family. And I felt stuck. So I showed up to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous with no idea what to expect. And the people there didn't look like me. They weren't, you know, they were not within 40 years of my age. They didn't have anything outwardly in common with me. But I sat down, and when they shared their stories about how they drank and how they felt when they drank, and in particular how they felt when they didn't drink, it really resonated with me. And they, you know, they gave me meeting lists and they told me where to go. And, you know, I was broken and lonely enough to listen. So I kept going back, and, you know, over time I met some people who told me what alcoholism actually was. And I started to see myself in that description, you know, as someone who, when I drink alcohol, I have to keep drinking more. And I don't know when I'll stop. And in between drinks, you know, I'm obsessed. That's all I can think about is, you know, getting to the next one. And it took me a few months in AA to hit, you know, a true rock bottom where I was willing to, you know, really listen to what I was being told and to start going through the steps. And, you know, when I got to that place, the members of Alcoholics Anonymous were really welcoming, and I had a sponsor who took me through the big book and explained things to me that I wasn't really sure how she could know about me. And she guided me through the process of, you know, finding some understanding of a higher power and writing a step four inventory and sharing that with her and then making amends. And through that process, like, the loneliness that I had felt and the fear that I felt, like, constantly started to lift. And I found friends and fellowship, and I got involved with service, and things started to change, like, outwardly, because I went back to school and I started, you know, to have a life again where I was actually, you know, doing things with my time rather than staring at the wall and wondering where the last bottle of vodka was. But mostly internally, when I, you know, could feel comfortable being in myself without being drunk. And yeah, it's been a journey. But yeah, it's really shifted things in the last 4 years that I've been sober. So I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Sophie. I really related to your story. Thank you for coming in today and sharing your experience, strength and hope. Now I would like to invite Rob to share. Rob.
Hi, my name's Rob and I'm an alcoholic. I'm sober today by the grace of a God of my own severely limited understanding and a fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, if and when I let them into my life and into my heart. And it wasn't always like that for me. When I look at the date today, 3 years ago, I was at the absolute crescendo of ego and self-will, self-centeredness, selfishness, and it all came crashing down in the most fantastic way possible. And I think for the first 3 months, looking back at that tragedy, you know, I almost thought I should write a novel about it. But actually what I needed to do was get the fuck over myself and move on from it. When I call myself an alcoholic, it wasn't always like that. When I first walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I couldn't bring myself to describe myself in that way. For me, an alcoholic was somebody who was a chronic 24/7 dependent drinker, or it was somebody who drank every day, or somebody who drank to blackout. And for the vast majority of my drinking, none of that describes my drinking career. I was a social drinker and a binge drinker. Once I started, I'd go for gold, and I'd pick up the pieces afterwards when I, you know, sobered up was the wrong word for it. Once I dried out and the consequences of the hangover had left me, but the consequences of my actions started to catch up with me. And, you know, I for a few weeks, you know, I'd say, hi, my name's Rob and I'm a problem drinker. And it describes that in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Sometimes it refers to us as ex-problem drinkers, and that works for me too, because when I drink, it creates problems. And over the course of staying in the rooms, working the 12 steps and taking a bit of guidance from people a bit wiser than myself, I've come to learn that, you know, when I drink, it creates problems. And if I want fewer problems in my life, then it's a good idea not to pick up a drink. But it took me a while to come to that conclusion. It took me even longer to accept that conclusion, and it took me even longer to accept the idea that never picking up a drink again might just be the best thing for me in my life, and the alternative, which is Alcoholics Anonymous, might just be the best thing that could have ever happened to me. You know, for me to identify as that alcoholic, you know, I have a craving when I pick up that drink, and I take that first drink and I just want to keep fucking going. I love it. I love the sensation of it. It's like pouring smiles into my brain, and it stays like that for a while. But then, you know, the difference between me and my friends is, you know, when I drink, it's a bit like Coyote and Roadrunner, you know. My friends are the Roadrunner and I'm the Coyote. We're both running towards the same cliff, but, you know, in their drinking and their drugging, and even though the way they live their lives, they can stop at the edge of the cliff. They stop and they moderate and they reel it back, whereas I go straight over the cliff and they stop and they go get married and they go find their girlfriends and they go get their house deposits, they go build their careers, and I just lurch from one tragedy and disaster to another, and I go straight over that cliff and I can't even see what's happening to me. And if that's all that was ever wrong with me, then I'd be fine, you know. I'd have a few nasty spills and then I'd, you know, be able to walk away from it and learn my lesson. But I've got this, you know, this mental obsession, and it's not just about alcohol, it can be about other things too. But it means that, you know, I have that tragedy, that disaster as a consequence of my drinking, and then I turn around and I'm like, okay, that was shit, but maybe this time will be different. And I start to think about it, you know. It informs the way I view drinking when I'm not drinking, you know. The easiest way for me to know that I'm an alcoholic and my parents are not is that, you know, for at least 6 years, the same bottle of Johnny Walker Black Label or Glen Morgan has sat on the shelf. Every now and then, my mother uses it to cook up a steak sauce for mushrooms for a special dish for my father. And it has sat there for 6 years, and they've used, you know, less than 10% of it, you know. For me, that's alcohol abuse. For me, that's how I know. I'm thinking about that whiskey bottle all the time. I notice it. I see it in a way that those people who are non-alcoholics never fucking will and will never fucking understand. So I've got this obsession that leads to the experience and this craving. But at the bottom of it all, you know, it's this hole in the soul sort of business. It's this need for external validation and this way of escaping the two things I hate the most in my life, which is who I am and where I am, and the utter unbearability of sitting in that place, you know, sitting with who I am as a person. I can't stand it, and being anywhere other than where I am, that's the dream. And I will, you know, I will put anything in my system and chase any crazy scheme or disaster or plan in order to avoid sitting in that place. And I kept doing that over and over again until eventually, you know, it was no longer feasible. You know, my last drunk was, you know, me just abandoning any degree of self-care, self-love, or thoughtfulness for other human beings, and putting myself in a position where I almost got myself and my best friend killed while driving behind the wheel. You know, it wasn't, you know, me drinking too much, getting a bit scared. You know, my body literally gave up on me while being behind the wheel. And that's where my drinking took me, because, you know, those little warning signs where the car kind of slips around different bends, and people kind of look at me and give me odd looks and stares, and people make comments about my drinking over the years. You know, none of that was ever enough to stop me from ever picking up a drink again. The look on my mother's face when I came home at 5 a.m. on November 8th, I think, you know, having spent the previous night at a police station, you know, it had an absolute look of heartbreak in her eyes. All this time and money and effort that's been raising the son who was just dead set on fucking up his life. And that was not enough to stop me from picking up another drink. It wasn't until I experienced the utter powerlessness of my condition on November 28th, 2020, that I've come to at least a degree of sanity with regard to picking up that first drink. And it wasn't even a bad drink. It was just, you know, a six-pack that should have never have happened. But it was in that moment when a friend offered, you know, does anyone want a drink? And it's like a voice inside of me that I don't even fully recognise pipes up and goes, yes, please, yes, thank you. And all of a sudden the show's back on, you know. I had to learn those things the hard way. And I'm really glad that for the past, you know, nearly 3 years, I've spent the majority of it learning about my alcoholism, about myself, and about my disease by sitting in the rooms, with the guidance of a sponsor, by having a home group that, you know, for the first 18 months of my recovery, I had to make sure I brought the milk to every single meeting. I mean, I still brought it late, but that's okay. It was progress. It was a step up, you know. And I was, bit by bit, I've slowly been able to, like, fix the things I fucked up. But the best thing about it is I don't have to do it on my own anymore. I've got this framework and this design for living that I never had in my life before. I've started to make amends for my parents. Some of that was financial. And some of that's, you know, just making sure I cook for them every Tuesday evening so that they can go to dancing together. Little things that make me feel like a better person. I can sit knowing I'm a better person. I wouldn't have been able to learn or develop any of these habits or disciplines if I hadn't had a bit of guidance in my life. And for me, that guidance is having a sponsor, it's having a home group, it's going to regular meetings regularly, and it's fully embracing the potential of a 12-step program that I can have in my life. And for that, I'm really grateful. Thank you for asking me to share.
Thank you so much, Rob. Fantastic, fantastic share. Now, Hayley, I would like to invite you to share.
Hi, my name's Hayley and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is the 29th of October, 2016. I have a home group and I have a sponsor and I sponsor other women, and those things have become incredibly important to me over the last few years. You know, like Sophie talked about, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous sort of accidentally. I didn't plan to be here and I definitely didn't plan to stay. I knew my drinking had been a bit of a problem for a few years, and I tried many, many things to try and control my drinking before I came to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I was at university, drinking was really fun. You know, I loved it. I went to gigs, I went to clubs, I went to festivals. My work is very social, and I drink a lot. But as someone else just spoke about, you know, as other people started to grow up and as other people started to calm down, I couldn't seem to do those things. You know, I couldn't seem to hold the commitment that, you know, I've got a plan on Saturday morning, so I'm going to be there. If I picked up a drink on a Thursday or Friday night, like, I just didn't know where I'd end up, what time I'd be home, how much money I'd spend, whether I'd come back with my handbag, which bed I'd wake up in. You know, when I pick up a drink, particularly at the, you know, the tail end of my drinking, like, I just don't have control over those things. And other people started to have a problem with my drinking. You know, flatmates would be like, hey, it's really annoying when you come in at 5 o'clock in the morning and have lost your keys again. You know, parents would be like, oh, we really wish you'd showed up for that family thing. You know, friends calling me 2 days after their wedding saying, how come you didn't show? You know, all of those types of things started to happen. And, you know, you'd think on the surface there would be enough evidence to say that I'm the type of person that shouldn't drink, but I just couldn't stop, you know. And I didn't know that. Like, I didn't know that until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I came into the rooms and, you know, I was told to come here by a therapist who had suggested that maybe my drinking and drug use had become a problem in my life. I thought he was just an old man who didn't understand what socialising was like when you're a single 27-year-old, but he said that he couldn't see me anymore unless I went to a few AA meetings. So, like the good little girl that I am, I went to a few AA meetings to prove that I definitely wasn't alcoholic and that I definitely didn't need to be here. I didn't say I was alcoholic for a long time. You know, all three of us have just introduced ourselves as alcoholics. You know, I didn't say that for a long time. I didn't think I fitted in to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it was clear to me listening to other people's stories that they needed to be there. But, you know, I just had a few short-term problems that I just needed help for. And if I could just get help for the next few months, like, I'd be all right. But there was something in the rooms, there was something about the way people would talk. You know, there was something in a way that, you know, people from all different walks of life, all different races, nationalities, you know, all different types of people would just talk about the things that were in my head. And I was just, I just couldn't believe that they were saying, you know, saying what was going on in my mind. And it just, yeah, it caught me. But I didn't, yeah, I didn't really want to stop drinking. You know, we talk about in AA, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. I didn't really have a desire to stop drinking, but I did have the desire for my, the consequences of my drinking to stop. And that was enough for me to keep coming back. Somebody suggested to me that I go to a meeting every day for my first 90 days. And I did that. Yeah, I did that. And I kept doing the things that people suggested, but I just wasn't really willing. And I still had a desire to enjoy the good old days, you know, to, you know, I'd think about how fun it was to drink and how much relief I had and, you know, how much more relaxed I'd be if I was drinking, and I'd forget all the consequences. And it took me probably about a year and a half of sitting in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous before I really understood what was going on. You know, I met this woman. We talk about having sponsors in AA. Sponsors are just people who have had experience of being in Alcoholics Anonymous and they've been through the 12 steps. I'd had 5 of them in my first year because none of them were doing it right. Until this one woman just sat me down. She sat me down in a way and she talked to me in a way I've never been spoken to. She was this very enthusiastic American woman who was 17 years sober at the time, and she was 35. And she was this effervescent, you know, human. And, you know, she sat down and she called me selfish and she called me a liar. And she told me that I hadn't been telling the truth in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't know, for the first time in my life, I wasn't horrified. I was just like, okay. And I was like, how do I get what you've got? You know, she was this, she had a career, she had a partner, she had a beautiful house, she had a super cute dog, and they were all things that I wanted, because I just lived in my tiny studio apartment on my own, just so lonely. And she told me to come to her house every Sunday morning and that we'd read through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which seemed completely pointless to me at the time. But, you know, I just did what she said. And so we'd go and we'd read chapter by chapter of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she talked to me about how she got sober and the things that she did to get and stay sober over the last 17 years. And I just started to do those things. You know, I ended up going to a meeting every day for my first 2 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to that woman's house every week for the first few months. And, you know, from the moment I started doing that with her, like, my life got better quickly. Because in my first year of AA, I'd stopped drinking, but I hadn't done the steps. And what I discovered was, for me, my problem isn't with drinking. For me, drinking is my solution. You know, my problem is alcoholism. You know, my problem is my inability to live sober. And I had to be taught. I had to be taught to live sober. You know, she dragged me along to gigs and gym classes and festivals and weird art stuff. And she just taught me how to live sober over those early days. And, you know, that's been a real blessing of recovery that today, you know, I thought when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I looked around the room and I was 27 years old and I thought, I'm never going to have fun again, you know, that my life is over and I'm never going to have fun again. And what I can say, hand on heart today, is I've had far more fun in the last 7 years than I had in my drinking. You know, today, you know, the joy that I feel is real joy. The joy that I feel is genuine. It's not stimulated by stimulants and chemicals, you know, it's real joy. And a joy today is being able to pass this on to other people. You know, today I sponsor women. Today, you know, I watch women who come into Alcoholics Anonymous hopeless. You know, the life in their eyes is gone and they've come to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I watch them, I get to help them, and I get to watch them grow. You know, I've seen women who'd lost custody of their kids, you know, get their kids back. I've seen people who have failed university go back to university and get their degrees. You know, I've seen sponsees travel the world, you know, there's beautiful things that happen in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm really grateful that I stuck around to see them. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Hayley. Your share gave me goosebumps. I related to it a lot. Very, very powerful and fantastic meeting. Thank you to all three of our speakers this morning, Sophie, Rob and Hayley. That is all we have time for. We are on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. So tune in to Planet FM 104.6. If you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 229 6757. Or you can go to the AA website, which is aa.org.nz, where you can find a whole raft of information, including where you can find your local meetings. Thank you very much for joining us, and please keep coming back. Could you help me close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you.